Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The only thing better than pizza is a great deal on pizza. And with Marco's, you get double the pizza and something for everyone. A large one-topping pizza with that perfectly golden crust and a saucy, cheesy pizza bowl without the crust. Plus, you get pizza's tasty sidekick, fresh baked cheesy bread, all for just $21.99. Seriously, what could be better than that? To see more deals and order, visit Marco's.com. Marco's. Pizza lovers get it.
Back with you here on a Monday morning version of the Frozen Rope Report. And as always, I'm your buddy Kevin McAlpin, Truist reporter for The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. It is Monday morning, April the 19th, 2021. Hopefully you all had a great weekend. If you're a fan of the Braves, Sunday Night Baseball, yeah, that was a fun one to watch. 13-4 as the Braves take down the Cubs at Wrigley Field in the rubber match last night. A lot of great news from that one and some not so great. We'll get to that over the course of this morning's podcast. Also, shameless plug for the Braves Clubhouse Report coming up this Wednesday. One of the big stories around Major League Baseball this weekend was Sean Casmar Jr. getting back to the majors for the first time since 2008. We will be joined by Sean Casmar Jr. on this Wednesday's edition of the Clubhouse Report, 2:30 p.m. on 680 The Fan. There's my shameless plug for the Clubhouse Report. All right, hey, 13-4. Nice bounce back for the Braves last night after a 13-4 loss on Saturday at Wrigley Field. And it was a game that the Braves, they hit not one, not two, not three, but four first-inning home runs. Freddie Freeman, a solo shot that landed out there on Sheffield Avenue out there beyond the right field bleachers. Two batters later, a two-run shot from Travis d'Arnaud. Eddie Adrianza added a solo home run, and then Guillermo Heredia, a two-run blast, a six-run top of the first inning for the Braves offensively there last night at Wrigley Field. That was good to see after a tough day for the offense on Saturday. Four home runs in the first inning. Kyle Hendricks made some history for the Cubs in yesterday's game. The first pitcher in franchise history to allow four first inning home runs. It's the ninth time all time a starting pitcher has given up four bombs in the first. Derek Holland did it last year. Forgot about that one when we were going through some of the statistics from last night's game. Last night was also the ninth time the Braves offense hit four home runs in a single inning. First time they did that since June 11th of 2019. Guillermo Heredia added a grand slam for good measure in the bottom, rather in the top of the sixth inning. He had a night where he had three hits, two home runs, a grand slam, drove in six runs, did a little bit of everything, and he was the first Braves player with six RBI out of the eighth spot in the order in franchise history. He had more RBI last night, six runs driven in, than he had all last season combined. So good to see a guy like Guillermo Heredia get a chance to make an impact last night. And that was part of just an absolute barrage that the Braves took out on Kyle Hendricks last night. Matter of fact, Bryce Wilson, in his season debut, he got a chance to hit before he stepped on the mound at Wrigley Field last night. So the Braves, a six spot in the first. They would give up two in the bottom of the inning. Anthony Rizzo, one of two home runs, two solo shots for him on the night. Bryce Wilson would go five innings, three runs, two were earned on seven hits, walked one and struck out one. He also gave up those two solo home runs. He picked up the win in his season debut last night. I thought he threw the ball pretty well. He's come a long, long way in this last calendar year. Again, remember, he was counted on for some big-time innings for the Braves last season in the playoffs. So the Braves win the game, but the news is not all great. If you went to bed early last night, you missed the fourth inning. Well, you missed Ronald Acuña Jr. lead the inning off with a walk. A pickoff attempt in that inning from Kyle Hendricks, and Acuña appeared to tweak something when he dove back headfirst into the bag. We weren't sure in the studio if it was an oblique, if it was jammed a finger. We really couldn't tell what happened. We thought for a minute maybe he just knocked the wind out of himself, but we find out after the game he left with pain in his lower abdominal region, and he's going to undergo further testing today. Braves have a day off in New York, and I know Braves country, you're all going to be keeping your collective breath held all day hoping we get some good news on Ronald Acuña Jr. Look, this team cannot afford any more injuries. Just the injury report that I'm doing on the pregame show, it's getting longer and longer by the day. Of course, the Braves were without Ozzie Albies for the last two games of the series in Chicago. They're hoping with the day off today, they can get him healthy enough to be back in the lineup tomorrow. And again, we'll hope that this abdominal issue for Ronald Acuña Jr. isn't as severe as maybe it initially sounded. The question then becomes, and they asked me this morning on my segment, Atlanta Braves Today, with our morning show here on The Fan in Atlanta, if he can't go, what do the Braves do in the outfield? And I said, well, if Chris Domino can't answer that question, then I certainly can't. Look, this would have been an ideal scenario, this series with the Yankees, and we'll talk about it tomorrow on this podcast. This would have been a great scenario for Marcell Ozuna to serve as the DH. That probably will not be possible at this point. So again, we'll see what happens. I'm sure Ozuna will play more left in that series in the Bronx than probably he thought, as necessity, as the Braves just try to figure out a way to piece this thing together. So many injuries here to start the season, and it's been tough to see. So again, the good news, the Braves get a 13-4 win. And how about this one? I sent this to Jason Stark last night, our buddy Jason Stark. I've known Jason for a long, long time. Braves lost 13-4 on Saturday, and the Cubs scored 13 runs on 14 hits. They made an error in that ballgame. Yesterday, the Braves scored 13 runs on 14 hits. They made one error, and they won the ballgame 13-4. It's the first time since 1926 that a series has ended with back-to-back 13-4 finishes, and that was in a doubleheader. The Phillies were involved in that way back when, in 1926. So again, something you love to see, and Ben and I have talked about this so much over the years. You love this crazy game of baseball because you can watch it day in and day out and still see something you've never, ever seen before. That's what we saw for Guillermo Heredia last night. A grand slam in the sixth. The Braves hit 5 home runs in last night's victory. They get the day off today, and boy, it's coming at a good time. Hopefully those guys can just relax, lay low, pop some Advil and some Motrin and get themselves healthy for a series against the last place Yankees, worst record in the National League, New York Yankees, if I might add in there as well. All right, we're going to step aside for a quick break. When we return, we'll get you caught up on some of the action from around Major League Baseball this weekend. We will also take you inside the clubhouse. You'll hear from Brian Snitker. You'll hear from Guillermo Heredia. You'll hear from Bryce Wilson. And of course, we'll take a look at this date in baseball history as well. Lots more to get to here on a Monday, and we're glad to have you with us on the Frozen Rope Report.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
We continue.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
You on a Monday morning, we're certainly happy to have you with us here on the Frozen Rope Report. Also happy to have our friends at DBAT along for the ride here for the 2021 season. Make sure you check out our friends at DBAT Marietta or a number of other locations here in the Atlanta area. Matter of fact, they're across the country as well. So if you're listening to us from Florida or Texas or California, wherever you might be, check them out. They've got locations all around the country. It's the premier indoor batting cage facility. They've got private lessons. They've got clinics. They've got summer camps coming up. If your kid, your son, your daughter is in travel ball this summer and you want to get their game taken to another level, believe me, I can tell you, I speak from experience. My son Max takes lessons there each and every week at DBAT Marietta. They'll take great care of you. DBATMarietta.com for all the details, for all their hours. You can rent cages. You can take your teams there. all kinds of great stuff. They've got an awesome pro shop as well, so if you need new baseball gear as well, they've got you covered at DBAT Marietta and DBATMarietta.com. All right, well, it was a big weekend around Major League Baseball. Of course, the big series this weekend, all eyes were on the Padres and the Dodgers. San Diego salvaging the finale there at Petco Park yesterday. 5-2 was your final after two really entertaining ball games to start the weekend in a game that saw a left fielder pitch, a pitcher play left field, David Price drive in runs. The Dodgers are off to just a tremendous start. They did drop the finale, but 2 out of 3, if you're a Dodger fan, probably isn't so bad. Los Angeles is off to a 13-3 start, and you've got a new rivalry in Major League Baseball. We've talked all so much over the years about Yankees, Red Sox. You've got a new rivalry in the game, and it's Dodgers and Padres, and it's going to be a fun one to follow for many years to come. As far as other action from around the division, Mets got past the Rockies 2-1 in a game that saw not a lot of runs scored the last couple of days, and that's hard to say. It's hard to believe at Coors Field. DeGrom pitched really well on Saturday. Stroman was terrific yesterday. A run on 3 hits over 8 innings as the Mets are now 7-4. They're looking like they're going to be a really, really good ball club this year. Phillies got past the Cardinals 2-0 in Philadelphia. It was the Philly Fanatics' birthday, and they retreated to a 2-0 win in a game that saw Bryce Harper homer early and Aaron Nola hit the cruise control button. He was terrific yesterday. A run early in the first, that was all Nola needed. He went the distance. A 2-hit shutout for Aaron Nola. No walks and 10 Ks. The Phillies are 8-7, but they have struggled on the road. That could be their undoing here in the 2021 season, like it has been the last few years. Nationals got bad news. Shocker, Steven Strasburg, once again, he's going on the IL. Man, it has been really tough couple of years for Steven Strasburg in the nation's capital. So he was supposed to start yesterday. Obviously, that did not happen. Madison Bumgarner and the D-backs take down the Nats by a score of 5-2 in D.C. yesterday. The Nationals are off to a 5-8 start. Slow start once again for the World Series champs from a couple of years ago. And again, their lineup very top-heavy and their rotation as well. And without Strasburg, National fans and Brave fans can certainly relate with all the injuries they're dealing with here this season. Nationals off to a slow start again. And the Marlins, I was looking at the Marlins earlier. They lost 1-0 to the Giants yesterday. That was in Marlins Park, a game that was started by Pablo Lopez. He gives up one unearned run, walked 2, and struck out 9. He is a tough luck loser, and he's 0-2. Might be the best 0-2 pitcher in all of Major League Baseball is Pablo Lopez with that loss yesterday. Alex Wood picking up the win, our old buddy. 5 scoreless innings with just 3 hits allowed for the San Francisco Giants. Giants are playing well. They're off to a 9-6 start. Again, it's early. We're 3 weeks into this thing. Small sample size, and again, I'll say the same about the New York Yankees. I don't think anyone believes they'll end up with the worst record in the American League, but they're off to a tough start, and they are back page headlines in the Big Apple for all the wrong reasons. More importantly, the Braves over the Cubs yesterday, 13-4 at Wrigley Field. Braves take 2 out of 3. They are a perfect 2-0 in rubber matches here to start the new season. And it's time now to take you inside that visitor's clubhouse at Wrigley Field. Let's first get the very latest from the manager, Brian Snitker, on the status of Ronald Acuna Jr. Also, that offensive outburst, 6 runs in the first, 4 home runs, 5 total. Guillermo Heredia with a grand slam late. Here is the skipper following last night's 13-4 win.
Hey, what is the update on Ronald?
He's got an abdominal strain, and we'll know more tomorrow. I mean, he was in the line in there just a minute ago, but they'll reassess him tomorrow and see where we're at.
That, as you sat there and wondered, you know, what it was during the game, is that best case, worst case scenario? What was that what you were feeling?
I couldn't really tell what was going, you know. I knew he could tell there's something in his belly, but we'll just, you know, we took him out and they checked him out. I think they'll know more tomorrow when they get him looked at there in New York.
Is it a for sure IL then?
No. I don't know what, I don't know. Like I say, I don't know. And we don't know because it was so late here that they couldn't get the test that they wanted. So they'll get it tomorrow in New York. And then, we'll know more then.
Snit, how about the first inning that you raced yesterday's damage that they were doing, huh?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's just like we talked about them yesterday. We're capable of the same thing as we showed tonight. So really good, you know, how Bryce kind of kept it together and righted himself after a shaky first inning and threw the ball really well.
Ned, is that I would we're in the area where he had it, in the kind of in the middle, it seemed like he was pointing to. Is that probably preferable to being on the sides to the oblique areas? Or
you're asking the wrong guy there.
And did he tell you where he did it? Was when he dove back on that first snapback throw, or?
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know if he did it then, but that aggravated it. That's, yeah. I think that's for sure.
It's nothing that he felt before today that he was complaining about for today, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Listen, how encouraging is it to have a night like this? You know, it's been guys pick each other up when they're hurt and to get some production from throughout your lineup like this.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I think it's just you know, the guy, like you say, they kind of picked a couple of key players up that we're, you know, missed Ozzie the last couple of days. Madrianza has stepped in and done a, you know, just what we need him to do, is that super utility type guy. And so it was good. It was great to see Heredia, you know, okay, finally get untracked a little bit today. So that's good. I mean, it, you know, we've been kind of, like I've said many times, just grinding to get this offensive thing going. So hopefully that's a step in the right direction.
How good does it feel to watch a guy like Heredia that's kind of bounces around to get two homers and six RBIs in a night?
That's awesome, because he's such a likable. We, you know, we heard that from the guys in Tampa, that they loved him. I mean, they, you know, and he's an infectious personality here too. I mean, I know them guys, you know, he's a really got a great personality. He's a happy guy. He's got skills too. So that was good to see. I mean, he's got some skills. So he's fit in here really well.
You've managed thousands of games. Have you ever seen your team hit four homers in the first inning?
No, I've had it done to me. More than once. I don't know that I've had it. I don't know that I've had a club hit four homers in the first inning or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the other ones because they hurt more. Those hurt. The ones like against you hurt more than the ones for you feel good.
Yeah. Like, it's only happened 9 times, or, well, 2 times in the first inning in Braves history. So.
Is that right? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When you have so many guys going down, the pitchers, the outfielders, and then obviously Acuna leaving the game, did you sense it all, like, from the guys in the dugout? Like, oh, come on, man. Like, can we just catch a break here? Enough's enough.
Not at all. You know, not at all. I mean, they might have sensed it from me, but I didn't sense it from them at all. You know, I just kind of feel like next man up and let's go. You know, it was kind of more how, really, the mood in the dugout and all was – you know, I think everybody was concerned for Ronnie and was like, you need to get this thing looked at or whatever, and get the heck out. You're not, you know, and like I say, just the next man up and let's go.
Hey, what did he say when you got out there to second base? He just basically said he was fine.
No, he said it was bothering him.
Yeah.
You know, and then I don't know what was said when the, you know, it's kind of like a convention out there all of a sudden. But you know, it was, I could tell it was bothering him, but I'm not sure he kind of understood why it was, you know, what was going on there. It's probably something he's never felt before.
Did you guys have to pull him out? Because I know he'd try to stay and play every
night. No, it was when we got him back in the dugout, it was like, we got to shut you down here and make sure, you know, get this thing looked at.
Any of that? I'm seeing Ozuna kind of come around last week or so.
Yeah, no, really good. Really good. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just going to, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time before he gets hot. And, you know, when a guy like that gets hot, then, you know, he'll put everybody on his back and has no problem doing that.
From the manager to the offensive hero last night, Guillermo Heredia starting in center field, his first and second home runs of the year, his first career grand slam, also his first career multi-homer game for Guillermo Heredia, and he had a chance to visit with the media as translated by team interpreter Franco Garcia.
Guillermo, can you tell us when your last multi-homer game was, your last grand slam, and what does it mean to you to do this in a nationally televised game?
Bueno, que si nos puedes contar o si te puedes acordar la última vez que tuviste más de un jonrón en un juego, la última vez que tuviste un grand slam, y pues cuéntanos. ¿Qué significa para ti poderlo hacerlo ahí en un juego que lo están dando ahí por la TV nacional?
Bueno, es algo bien, tú sabes, bien importante para la carrera de un pelotero. Y bueno, la mía en este caso, que soy bateador, me acuerdo el primer gran slam que di fue en Liga Menor, en AA, cuando estaba con los Marineros de Seattle. Y fue algo, tú sabes, bien impresionante. Y me sentí súper bien y contento con todo el trabajo realizado antes.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's just something that I consider something really kind of important for a player's career in general, you know, for any player, really. So obviously, I'm really happy with kind of the outcome of tonight. And then, you know, my first Grand Slam, from what I can recall, I think it was when I was in AA in the Mariners farm system. And, you know, I just remember feeling like an impressive feeling, just kind of, you know, the grandeur of it, you know, something being able to hit a Grand Slam like that. Like at the time, it felt, you know, that way. And so obviously you can kind of equate it now to the big league game.
What was the mood like in the dugout in the first inning? You guys get beat 13-4 yesterday and you come out today in that first inning. How good did it feel in the dugout?
Cuéntame un poquito del ambiente dentro del dugout. O sea, que anoche obviamente pues no tuvimos resultados que hubiéramos querido y pues de poder salir esta noche y tener el éxito y los resultados que tuvimos de esa manera.
Bueno, te diría que el ánimo del dugout siempre ha estado bien. Todo el mundo ha estado enfocado en su trabajo. Tenemos buena armonía, buen ánimo, los deseos de jugar el béisbol. Y yo creo que, tú sabes, ayer no tuvimos el resultado que queríamos tener, pero bueno, es parte del juego. A veces se gana, a veces se pierde, pero estamos preparados y listos para ganar.
I would say that the environment and like the attitude was always upbeat, you know, in the dugout. That never changed. I felt like everyone came out with kind of a good harmony, and everyone in that dugout has the same desire to play baseball. And I think that's kind of really contagious, and it's helpful for kind of our outlook and as far as our focus, which is, I think everyone was able to maintain that as well. So as far as the result yesterday, you know, obviously it wasn't ideal. It wasn't what we wanted, but it's one of those things where you kind of put it behind you and you come out looking to the next day to kind of have the game that we put together. And that's just kind of that. It's just have that mentality to go on to the next game.
And was there any concern when Acuña came out of the game, or did they get kind of feel like it wasn't that bad? What was the feeling in the dugout, the mood?
Bueno, sí que sí estaban preocupados cuando vieron que Ronald tuvo que salir del juego y si les contaron algo o si pues básicamente si el equipo estuvo preocupado el resto del juego.
Sí, nosotros como compañeros siempre, tú sabes, nos preocupamos. Yo no llegué a saber cuál fue el resultado o qué es lo que le pasó, pero bueno, tú sabes, es algo bien triste porque está teniendo una temporada, la adaptamos de él. Porque es un excelente pelotero y nunca pensé tenerlo tan cerca y a verlo en la televisión es muy diferente a tenerlo en el equipo.
Yeah, I think anytime you see a teammate go down like that, I think you automatically become concerned. You know, you obviously you're concerned for their well-being and everything. So we never really got an update. And me personally, I wasn't really sure what had happened to him, and I'm still not sure. But I think I just really felt sorry for him in general, you know, because of the start that he's had to the season and the way he kind of has taken off. And for me personally, you know, being able to watch him play live is something completely different than watching him play on TV. You know, it's one of those things where you watch him play on TV and you think it's one way, but as soon as you get close and, you know, close and personal with it, it's something completely different. So for me, it's just been a completely, you know, kind of awesome experience to be able to witness it up close and personal.
Guillermo, what was your thought at the end of spring training? Were you disappointed you didn't make the club, or did you go into spring training knowing that it would probably be Pache and if Ender was still around, he would still have a job too?
Cuéntanos cómo te sentiste al final de del spring training. O sea, si estaba pues frustrado que no te escogieron a ti para el equipo, o si pensaste que eso fue parte del plan y que sabías si ibas que si iba a ser Pache, que se iban a llevar a Ender. O sea, y cuéntanos si te sentiste frustrado o cómo te sentiste básicamente.
No, al contrario, no, nunca me he sentido frustrado en este equipo. Yo sé que desde que me cambiaron o desde que me agarraron aquí, sé las cualidades y la fortaleza que tiene este equipo, que es uno de los mejores equipos que hay actualmente en las grandes ligas. Entonces, no, el plan que tenía conmigo, yo tenía que guapiarle en el team trainer. No hice el equipo, mi trabajo siempre fue, tú sabes, seguir trabajando, enfocado en lo que me hace falta y ayudar a mis compañeros en todo lo que puedo hacer.
No, you know, I guess I never really felt any type of frustration or everything like that. You know, immediately joining the team, I knew that I was joining a high caliber type of organization, high caliber type of team. So, you know, it was going to be tough either way to just kind of, you know, crack through. But I never really bought into, you know, if they had an idea or plan, whatever. I knew that my job to come to spring training was to come out there and play well. You know, unfortunately, I didn't make the team, but that didn't really derail me or my focus or anything. I wanted to make sure I stayed ready for if the opportunity came, and I wanted to make sure that I stayed focused on everything that I needed to, you know, kind of perform on my end.
Big thanks to Franco as once again doing the assist with the translating duties there with Guillermo Heredia last night. From the offensive hero to the standout on the mound last night, Bryce Wilson, 5 innings, 3 runs, 2 which were earned on 7 hits, walked 1, struck out 1, gave up a couple of solo homers to Anthony Rizzo. Hey, you tip your cap, that's nothing. That's not the end of the world, especially when you have a very comfortable lead. Wilson got a chance to bat before he stepped on the mound, and here was Bryce Wilson following last night's outing.
You had an at-bat, you know, with that many home runs, did you feel pressure to go yard as well?
That's definitely the first time, you know, grand slam right in front of me. And then, you know, it's like, well, got to do something decent here, end up striking out, but you know, it happens.
Hey Bryce, what's, I bet you've never had an at bat before you threw your first pitch of the season, have you?
No, absolutely not. That is definitely the first time I've ever done that, for sure.
Well, just explain what that first inning does to you mentally. You know,
I think for me, it kind of gives me a little bit of peace of mind. You know, obviously there's a 6-run lead, but at the same time, you know, you kind of have to, you know, treat it like a 0-0 game and go out there and, you know, do the best you can and, you know, allow them to not gain any momentum whatsoever. So, there's a give and take there for sure.
Yeah, because on the flip side, right, you see them hitting all these home runs, the wind's blown out, you're like, all right, if I let up, the same thing could happen to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, like, I wasn't worried about, like, you know, giving up the homers and whatnot, but it's like, you know, offense just definitely helped me a ton here. Let's just go out there, get a quick inning. You know, obviously it ended up not being a quick inning, but that was the thought process going into it for sure.
What's the feeling about Ronald in the clubhouse?
I think, you know, from what I've heard, you know, he's doing good. So, you know, we're looking, hoping he's going to be all right. I haven't heard anything other than that.
So abdominal strain just sounds worse than maybe it is?
From what I understand, yeah.
But you guys go like, man, can we just get a break here? I mean, all these pitchers going down, outfielders, like, enough's enough.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, like, you know, obviously there's a team that it happens to every year, and unfortunately that's us at the moment. And, you know, hopefully we can just bounce back and continue to fill the spots. You know, obviously that's a spot you can't really fill, but, you know, to get some production out of the spot if needed.
So a well-deserved day off for the boys in New York today. They'll get back at it with a couple of interleague games against the Yankees starting tomorrow night, and that will be a 6:35 first pitch, and we'll tell you more about that tomorrow right here on the Frozen Rope Report. All right, a couple of this date in baseball histories for you. It was on this date, April the 19th of 1912 at Griffith Stadium, before the Senators' 6-0 victory over the A's, James S. Sherman becomes the first U.S. vice president to throw out the ceremonial first pitch on opening day. William Howard Taft does not attend the game due to the death of Archibald Butt, a friend lost in the sinking of the Titanic. How about that? William Taft does not attend the game. He sends his vice president because he was mourning the loss of a friend in the Titanic on this date in 1912. It was also on this date in 1944. Mel Ott hits the first of his National League round trip, National League round tripper of the season, the 464th of his career, as he helps the Giants defeat the Braves 2-1. Next season, Master Melvin will become the first National Leaguer to amass 500 career home runs. On this date in 1944, Mel Ott hits the first National League home run of the season, number 464 of his career. All right, it was also on this date in 1949. April the 19th of 1949, the Yankees unveiled a monument in center field honoring the legendary Babe Ruth 8 months after his death. He joined Lou Gehrig and Miller Huggins, who were also awarded posthumously with the team's highest honor of all. On this date in 1949, a statue of Babe Ruth was involved, a monument in center field there at Old Yankee Stadium. All right, it was also on this date in 1960, Roger Maris, obtained by the A's in the offseason, goes 4-for-5 batting leadoff in his first game as a New York Yankee. The 25-year-old right fielder would amass 11 total bases, including two homers and a double, as the Yankees got past the Red Sox 8-4 at Fenway Park. All right, a couple of more for you. It was on this date in 1979, after a 6-3 loss to the Orioles, Goose Gossage sustains a sprained ligament in his left thumb as a result of a clubhouse brawl with his teammate Cliff Johnson. The Yankees reliever will be out of action until mid-July, and Johnson, due to the altercation, will be traded to the Indians in June for left-handed pitcher Don Hood. On this date in 1979, Goose Gossage sprains a ligament as a result of a fight in the clubhouse. All right, one more for you. It was on this date in 1996. In the eighth inning, the Rangers fall one run short of setting a modern major league record as they scored 16 runs in one inning of their 26-7 rout of the Baltimore Orioles. In 1952, the Red Sox scored 17 times in the seventh inning of a 23-3 rout of the Tigers at Fenway Park. Looking at that line score, Rangers with 5 in the first, 1 in the second, 3 in the 5th, 1 in the 7th, 16 in the 8th. They score 26 runs in that 26-7 win over the Orioles on this date, April the 19th of 1966. Well, that's going to do it for our show here today. Folks, enjoy your day off, a much-deserved day off for the Braves in New York. They'll get back to action tomorrow night. We'll preview the Yankees series coming up on a Tuesday morning edition of the Frozen Rope Report. Everyone have a great Monday.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.